we might introduce you formally to the whole congregation and in our newsletter. There is a new Bible study starting on Friday with our playgroup study on the book of Esther. And if you would like further information about that, please see me after worship or one of the playgroup members of the study, Gina, Sam, Allie, if she's here, and there she is, Allie, and Karina, too. And Suzanne, sorry. I knew if I started listing them, it would all be over. So anyway, we would welcome you to join us as we begin a study of Esther. Are there any other announcements this morning? Suzanne.
Dan officially kicked off mowing season yesterday. That mower is still working. And any flowers that are not, any plants that are not taken today, I will plant in the yard.
So it's your last chance to pick up your Easter flowers if you didn't already. Otherwise, they will appear in our garden. The mowing season has begun. You will see soon a sign-up sheet, I'm sure, so that we can share those opportunities through this season. Kathy, can you use the microphone, please?
This year's house groups will be meeting for the last time in either May or June, depending on your house group. And before we make decisions about whether we'll continue house groups next year, and if so, what those house groups might look like, we would really like your feedback. So if you go to house group this month, you'll get a survey, and we would really like your thoughts, what you've liked about house groups and what could be improved and whether you'd like to continue. And if you know you're not going to be going to house group or can't go this month, I have some surveys in the back on the table in the Hope Room. So please fill one out, and you can give it to me or you can put it in my box in the back here as well, or you can give it to your house group co-leader. But we'd really love your feedback. Even if you only went to house group once, we would love to know what you thought and what might make it more accessible for you in the future if it's something that you'd like to be a part of in the future. All right? Thank you.
Lisa. That's the State House rally against human trafficking. See Lisa if you would like further information on Tuesday for that rally on Tuesday at 5. Okay. Yes. Can you use the microphone?
Well, Chris and I are Chris and I are having a Boy Scouts of America pancake breakfast, where we are part of the Boy Scouts of America, and it's our big fundraiser of the year. It'll be on Angel Street at Central Congregational Church this Saturday at 8 to 11. There will be many delicious foods, not just pancakes, such as bacon, eggs, sausages, custom omelets, French toast, and much more. There will be many other things for sale, such as flowers, plants, and also used books. And the tickets for sale, $7 for an individual ticket and $20 for a family ticket. Yeah, and we'll be selling them during coffee hour.
Great. Look for Chris and Dan in coffee hour for support the Boy Scouts, and breakfast is at Central Congregational Church next Saturday.
One other announcement. I can't top that. Thanks, guys. In 2 weeks, we have a special mission brunch coming up. You've heard that we're taking a team down to, up to Maine this summer, a mission to Maine, and this is an opportunity to hear more about what we're going to be doing and to find a way for you to be part of the team even without leaving the state. So that's in 2 weeks. You'll be hearing more about it. It's a mission brunch. It will be following worship downstairs. Thank you.
I told you things were still happening around here. Come, let us sing a new song. Let us shout aloud to the joy of our salvation, for Jesus has come. Jesus reigns in light and love. Let us come to worship God. In brokenness and separation from God, God comes to us, God came to us, to invite us to new life. In confession, let us come to God, first in silence and then praying together. Let us pray. Continuing in prayer with our prayer of confession. Generous God, you send us the spirit of courage, but we have been afraid. You send us the spirit of truth, but we cling to our illusions. You send us the spirit of healing, but we cannot let go of our hurts. Holy Spirit of forgiveness, come to us again. Shake our hearts, set our souls on fire with your love. Send us out into the world rejoicing in your power. We hold out to you all our particular burdens of guilt and sin, and we ask for your help to live the way of your justice and love. Amen. Let us join together, remaining seated and singing, Open Our Eyes, in the Sing the Faith hymnal number 2086. This is the good news that we have received, in which we stand and by which we are saved, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day. He is the beginning and the end. He is our Lord and our God. Praise God for this amazing gift of forgiveness and new life. Amen.
Excellent is thy name. Excellent is thy God. Oh, you are wonderful. my Lord.
Excellent is thy name. Excellent is thy power. Oh, you are wonderful, my Lord. You are excellent.
This is wonderful.
Amen. Thank you, Ghana Choir. God is excellent. God is kind. We give thanks to God today, and we take some time at this point in our service to share together some of the ways that God has been at work in our lives. I think we want to give thanks to God for, praise to God for. We also know that God helps us in our weakness, and we lift prayers as well this day for struggles we have. Prayers of concern for our friends, people in our lives. What do you want to live today in prayer? What's on your heart today? Yes, traveling back to Kenya, but then you'll be visiting, you'll be getting together with them in about a month, right? Praise God. Others, Lori.
My mother-in-law, Rose Gerard, had knee replacement surgery 2 weeks ago, I think. She's home now, doing great. But I also wanted to ask for prayers for my 13-year-old niece, and Abby. She was hospitalized a couple of weeks ago for a low red blood cell count, and they thought they got it. It was on its way up again, and now I guess on Friday she found out that it's down again. She's not going to know until tomorrow how serious that is, because she has to go to the doctor. But just prayers for her that's resolved. Abby.
Prayers for Lori's family. And thanks for Rose, who seems to be improving, but continued prayers for Abby, who is up and down. Prayers for God's healing. Yes, Steve.
These torture memos got released this week, and I'm not sure what, it's a concern, obviously, that our country did what it did, and now we see it. There's a little bit of me that says it's like Casablanca, like I'm shocked, but now we see it in black and white. And I don't know what the thing to do is. All I can do is pray about it at this point. Sheldon Whitehouse has been a leader in the Senate, pursuing some of this stuff, so I suppose one could call his office. They're pragmatic of, you know, do you want to go retrace the past or do you want to look ahead? But it seems to me that we violated some ideals that are at the core not only of our Christian being, but our national being in some of those actions. And go and do what I did the other night when I was watching Hardball, and they said, go to the ACLU website and look at it. And I looked at only one, the shortest one, 14 pages, the 18 pages, single space. So it's like a chapter of a book. And it's not pretty. It's just flat out not pretty. So I offer that as a concern. And as I say, with a quandary, a moral and pragmatic quandary about what Christian people do about that.
Prayers for our country as we try and make sense of some of our recent past and wonder what's ahead in the future. So prayers for our leadership and for the future for our nation. Thank you. Other prayers? Yes, Priscilla.
I want to ask prayers for my sister Vivian, who is all stressed out and dealing with two autistic kids. Sometimes she talks like she's not there, and I'm really asking prayers for her so that she'll be okay. And I'm also asking prayer for my elder brother at Las Vegas, who closed down his practice. He's a doctor, and now go to Arizona for a new job, that God will give him peace so he can take care of the little kids. He's a pediatrician.
Thanks. praying for Priscilla's family, for her brother Seth and his job situation, as well as Sister Vivian dealing with two autistic kids, that God might strengthen her and give her power. Other prayers today. Gina B. in the back.
Just ask for prayers for a very good friend of mine from high school. Her name is Chikako, and she just lost her father to gallbladder cancer. He was diagnosed about a month ago, and so it was a very quick and sudden death in her family. And also prayers for another good friend of mine. Her name is Kristen. She leads stroller strides here in Providence with our group, and which I also participate in. Her husband just lost a job last week, so just prayers for her and her family.
Prayers for Gina's friend, Chikako, with grieving this loss, for as she mourns, and also for Kristen, a friend whose husband has lost a job. Yes. Gladys.
I want to share good news. I have sent you, emailed you an article about the Presbyterian Church in New York about being one of the leaders calling the Congress to come to a humane immigration reform. And I wanted to, just when I read the article, I mean, because we've been trying to do the same thing in here, you know, just trying to learn more about the issues of immigration and see how we can be more welcome to immigrants. And, you know, I'm really happy to belong to this community that every day, whether it's, you know, helping families to adjust in this country, or whether it is, you know, that we just get together to learn more about the issue. But I'm really happy to be part of this community that, you know, it's so embracing of immigrants.
Thanks, Gladys. That is a praise that we have, is that God is at work through our Presbyterian Church on a larger scale, working for immigration reform and for humane treatment of those who are far from home in our midst. Seeking a welcome for them. Thanks. Let's go to Joanne back here.
I have a joy. My oldest grandson is with me today, and he was baptized in this church when he was little, so I have a joy. But I also have a concern for a dear friend of mine, Myrtle Goodrich, who I had asked people to pray for before, and I went to see her on Friday. She had hemorrhaging of her liver, and she is very, very tired and very weak right now. So I'd appreciate prayers for her.
You, John. We give thanks for John, Joanne's oldest grandson, here with us today. Hi, John. We're also praying for Myrtle, this friend who's dealing with this liver ailment. We pray for healing for Joanne's friend. Others today. Not alone.
Morning. Monday starts the fourth quarter of the school year, and for me that means the last stretch of my senior year. I'm just praying senioritis doesn't kick in too strongly and I'm able to make it through this last part of the year.
Prayers from Alona as she starts this fourth quarter. We'll keep an eye on you, too. Others? Mike Chen.
Hi, good morning. After spending 25 years of my life preparing, last Sunday, I found a girl who was willing to marry me.
Exciting news. Thank you. Megan.
Nathan and I also have some good news to share. This October, we will be expecting our first child.
Wow. Any other?
I have one news.
Okay, that's good.
I am. After 9 months, we're giving birth to this conference tomorrow. and it is, to piggyback on Gladys's announcement, it is a joy to have been working on this conference on how to nurture the multicultural church in the Northeast, and we have amazing speakers coming from all over the country to engage this subject, and a number of people who are very excited to learn about how to be more welcoming to immigrants and internationals in our midst. And I covet your prayers for this week, for the interactions to take place in that, because in the current situation of our world and economy, sometimes this can get shuttled to a back burner. But those who are coming are very excited, and I'm grateful for Dave's support in coming to it as well. And we're bringing a case study from this church to study and even learn more with the experts that we have coming. So please keep it in your prayers this week as we pray. Let us continue in prayer. We give thanks, great God, for the empty tomb, for the risen Lord, for you who dry the tears of those who weep and bring hope and comfort to all who mourn. We pray this day for Jopako and her family in the loss of her father. We know, O Lord, that we cannot hide from your presence, and we give thanks that you know our needs before we even ask, that you care for your whole world, even as we sometimes see only those closest. We know that you challenge us to lives of discipleship and hope and love in all things. Help us, O Lord, to continue to live into Easter hope. As we see the signs of new life around us, we are reminded of your abundant presence. We give thanks for the chance to gather with family and friends, and particularly this day for the travel that has allowed Anne's family to be with her, for us finally to meet them. We pray for your continued blessing upon their time together and their safe travel home again until she's able to be back with them. We give thanks for John's presence with us in worship this day with his grandmother. We give great thanks, O Lord, for the way in which you bless our lives and make them abundant, for Courtney and Mike in the announcement of their engagement, and Megan and Nathan in the expectancy of new birth in their midst. We pray that your spirit would be upon them as they move through these exciting months to come. We pray, O Lord, also for those who are in challenging seasons of life, and experiencing your love and care in ways we cannot always see. Our prayers continue for Stan, for those who seek work or are underemployed, for Kristen's family in this time of job loss, for Vivian in the challenges of her children, and Priscilla's brother Seth as he begins a new start in Arizona. We pray, O Lord, for your continued healing presence for Abby, for Joanne's friend Myrtle. We rejoice in your healing presence in Barbara, in Q, in Rose. We lift our prayers to you in this closing of the school year for all students, and particularly our own Nalone as she finishes this senior year at Classical. We pray your blessing upon her and all students who are with us here and even beyond these doors, that you might continue to bless them with knowledge and strength as they study. We pray, O Lord, for your church and for those who would gather to grow your church deep and wide in this week. We pray, O Lord, for places of war and tumult, and we pray in confession for the places and the ways in which we have not lived the ideals of our faith or our country in these new revelations about torture that have been below the surface for a long time. Help us, O Lord, to be a people that makes this knowledge make us stronger. We pray, O Lord, for the ways in which you lead us to be a people who welcome all people in worship and in this country, For the witness, we give thanks of the Presbyterian Church alongside other denominations in continuing to advocate for immigration reform. We pray, O Lord, for the work of this legislature in taking a stand against human trafficking that has come into our midst even here. Guide us, great God, that as we seek to live, we seek always to live in you, to experience your grace-filled and life-giving presence, to reach out to a hurting world. In the power of the one who came to save and saves us still, our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray the prayer he taught us praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
All the children are invited to the front. Come on down. Find a spot. Hey, guys, come on in. Yeah. Well, this week I came home to my house, you guys, and I walked to the front door and I went to open it. And you know what? Instead of feeling the door handle, there was a hole there. There was a hole in the door and the door handle was gone. I pushed the door and it opened. I said, "What's going on here?" And then inside I went in and look what I found. What do you think that is? That's my doorknob, and it was on the ground inside my door, and the door was open. I said, "What's going on here?" And then you know what? I found Lisa, my wife. And she was the one who had come, and she had taken a screwdriver and taken this off because she said it was broken. And I didn't know that, but she said it was broken, and so she had to take it apart. And that's why, when I got there, I pushed it over and said, "What happened here?" I found these things lying there inside. And you know what? The story that we're talking about here this morning from the Easter story, it's a story about some women who go to this tomb. They expect to be locked up with a big stone in front of it, like a big door. And they get there and say, "Wait a minute, something's different." And that big stone was rolled away, was pushed away. And they say, "What's going on?" So they go inside, and they see lying there on the ground, like cloth wrappings, like that they wrapped up Jesus' body. And there was this angel kind of guy who said, "He's not here, he's not dead, he's risen. Look, there's the thing that they wrapped him in." They looked and they thought, just like these doorknobs laying on the ground. And they said, "He's not here, he's in Galilee. Go out of here, don't stay here where you thought he was. Go out to Galilee where you're going to meet Jesus." That's the exciting thing about Easter, is that Jesus is not dead. He's not locked up inside the house, but he's busted it open like this broken doorknob. And he's out on the world, set loose, free. So look out, because one of these days, we know that Jesus is going to be around. You're going to meet him in a new way, a way you haven't even yet. Even as you hear about him week by week, we know that one of these days, we're going to come to know Jesus in a new way, out in Galilee, out in our lives. So I'm going to send you downstairs to your classes, and first we're going to say a quick prayer. Okay, you guys? God, we thank you for breaking open death, for not being held down by the ways of this world, but rising to new life. We pray that we would also come to know you, alive and risen, in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can head downstairs. I know. I don't know. I have to fix it. The teacher is doing it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first scripture reading is from the Old Testament, and it's Psalm 13. And you can find it in your pew Bible on page 468 if you'd like to follow along, or in the large print Bible, page 609. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. The next scripture reading is from the New Testament, Mark 16, 1-8, and it's on page 51 in your pew Bible and on page 66 in the large print Bible. And this is about the women at the tomb that Pastor Dave is going to be telling us more about. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The next hymn is number 322.
Morning. I wonder sometimes if our life of faith is something like a balloon. It begins back in Advent as we watch and wait for the coming of the Christ child. And then it continues at Christmas when we celebrate Jesus' birthday. And then on it goes into Ash Wednesday when we reflect on the temptations of our Lord. And into Lent when we walk together growing in faith. And then we come to Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And then here we are, welcome to the most famous day of all, the Sunday after Easter. You know it can feel that way sometimes, can't it? Like all the air has gone out of our balloon. We built and built, and we had this great celebration, and along with all those followers of Jesus on the first Sunday, the first Easter, we celebrated, and it was great. But now we're left wondering, is that it? Is that all until Christmas? What do we do now? I think what do we do now might be the best question we can ask on this Sunday following Easter, because it's the question that those first followers of Jesus were also asking. In case you weren't listening too closely, here's the resurrection story again, the one that Mark tells us. Early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome went down to the tomb. When they arrived, they were surprised to see that the stone had been rolled away. And so they went inside. And inside the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white, sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He is raised. Look, there's the place that they laid him. So go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb in terror and amazement. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And that's how it ends. And the air goes out of our balloons a little bit. And we wonder, if Jesus is risen, where is he? And why didn't those women say anything to anyone? And ultimately, in light of it all, what do we do now? Well, those are the questions that we're going to look at this morning. Some of the questions that this text raises for us and this particular setting, this Sunday after Easter, a time when we feel deflated in our faith, it might be a time when God is starting to reinflate us in some new way. So as we begin, let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Back in the first chapter of Mark's gospel, it said that after John the Baptizer was arrested, that Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And there in Galilee, he called his first disciples, Simon and Andrew. It was Galilee that was the place that Jesus began his own ministry, and it was in Galilee that the first disciples started to follow him. In gospel stories, that region of Galilee, all around the Sea of Galilee, was the focus point, was the Jesus' base of operations. It was the main place that he preached and taught and healed. Back in the beginning, Jesus called his disciples in Galilee, and here at the end of our story, Jesus calls those disciples again to meet him in Galilee. Jesus calls those ones who, between these two callings, have fallen away. Those ones who have fallen short. Those ones who have not followed faithfully. You know, not long ago, Starbucks coffee had a problem. Their phenomenal growth that they were having had led to new locations popping up all over the place. New locations of Starbucks coffee, not just in places like Fair Street or over on Wayland Square, but turnpike exits and airport terminals and even strip malls. There was, at one point, the satirical online magazine called The Onion reported that a new Starbucks had just opened up in the men's bathroom of an existing Starbucks. There's so many of them. Well, anyway, Starbucks had a problem because along with all these new locations that were coming up, they had all these new products, these food products to go along with all these locations. And the problem was that the smell of chicken parmesan didn't mix so well with the aroma of coffee beans. And so as the deli case filled up with diffuse food choices, the coffee sales went down as people were mixed up in their signals. They were turned off by the cacophony of smells. And so Starbucks needed to simplify its menu and to focus again on serving great coffee and the snacks that accompany it. So they introduced a new brew to all of their locations. It was called Pike's Place Roast. Have you ever had it? Yeah, a lot of you have. If you go to Starbucks, you know Pike's Place Roast. This coffee was named after the Pike's Place Market back in Seattle. Seattle was the place that it all began for Starbucks. Starbucks started making this Pike's Place Roast, and it was a return to their focus on coffee, a return to the basics, to the place where they had come from. Now, in our scripture passage today, there's a problem as well, because Jesus, the risen Lord, wants to bring his faltering and fallen away disciples back into the fold. We remember that in the week leading up to Easter, the disciples had deserted him and denied him. And so it is to these people that Jesus sends this message, these same people, this resurrection message of Jesus: go to Galilee. Go back to Galilee. Go back to the place where it started for you. I'll meet you there. Let's start over. The first message that I want to share with you today from our story is that the risen Lord Jesus invites us to start over, invites us to go back and get a fresh start. You know, I was in Nashville, Tennessee last week with my brother. You probably knew this. He's visiting my brother and his wife, who's just back from Iraq. And I don't know if you know, but Nashville is famous for one thing above all else. What's Nashville famous for, do you think? Country music, you got it. That's where the Grand Ole Opry is. That's where the Country Music Hall of Fame is, which we visited but didn't pay $20 to get into. And that's where people wear cowboy hats around. Elvis recorded there. Country music is what Nashville is known for. And while I was there, I was reminded of some of the all-time worst country music titles. And I wanted to share a couple with you. I don't know if you've heard of these before. You know, songs like "Her Teeth Was Stained But Her Heart Was Pure." You ever hear that one? It's a country music title. Or How Can I Miss You If You Won't Go Away? Or even "I Liked You Better Before I Knew You So Well." Or finally, "I'm So Miserable Without You, It's Like Having You Here." These are all country. All right. Well, one of the things about country music is that along with these kinds of songs, they are always singing about things getting messed up and then getting a second chance. Or about going home and starting over again. Or about love gone wrong and then giving it another try. These are some of the standard themes in country music. And in fact, they are standard Christian themes as well. The word we might use would be redemption. To be redeemed, to be taken back, to be graciously given another chance. And that's what Jesus' invitation to the disciples is all about on that first Easter. Go back to Galilee. I'll meet you there. Let's start over. I wonder how you hear this message of Jesus today. Go back to Galilee. What would it look like for you to go back to Galilee, do you think? I don't mean getting on a transatlantic flight to Israel, but I do mean going back to the beginnings of your faith, that beginning point, the basics somehow. Imagine with me, if you would, the place that you call Galilee in your life. I think we all have this place. The place where it all started for you, the place where you first met God in Christ, the place where it first became real, the place where you started following. What is your Galilee? What's it look like? Was it a church? Maybe the church of your childhood or your teenage years? A place where the unconditional love of God was made clear to you for the first time? Is that Galilee for you? Or maybe it was a mission trip, a place where the passion that you felt was so real that you never wanted to come home and you've always wanted to go back. Was that Galilee for you? I wonder if Galilee for you might have been time spent in a summer camp, where in nature you were drawn in by God's beauty and the creation. Maybe you met God in a new way in that place. I wonder if your Galilee was a college fellowship group that encouraged you, or a prayer group that sustained you, or maybe a 12-step group that pulled you up and helps you see a source higher than yourself, someone that you've come to know as God in Christ. What does Galilee look like for you? The place where it all started, the place that you come from in faith. I want you to imagine, if you would, a way to go back to that place this week. Not to go back to upstate New York or Korea, but think about the practices that nurtured you when you were in Galilee. In your Galilee, what was going on that was so significant, that made a difference for you? What was it about being in Galilee that jump-started your faith? Was it having time, intentional time with God in prayer or scripture reading? Was it being in service to other people in some meaningful way? Was it taking time to be with God in nature? Back in Galilee, did you used to have a friend that you'd share your life with? I wonder if you've talked to that friend recently, over the phone or over a coffee. Might be a way to go back to Galilee. Back in Galilee, did you have a mentor, someone who meant a lot to you in the faith, who helped you along? I wonder if an email or a letter to that person this week might be a way for you to go back to Galilee, connect with that beginning part of your faith. This is the invitation of this resurrection story. Go back to Galilee and meet Jesus again. I hope you'll find a way this week to get back to the basics, maybe to reconnect with your faith. And if you do, Pastor Chris and I would love to hear about it. We'd love to hear in a way that you're reconnecting with the basics of your faith, because it's something that we need to do as well. You know, coming out of this crazy time of Lent and Easter, kind of wiped out ourselves. We're trying to get back on track with God. Not just your pastors, but the elders, the deacons, the ushers, the choir, maybe even Elena up there. We all need to do this. We are in this together. Because as faithful as we try and be, you know, all of us lose air in our balloons sometimes, don't we? I'm thinking about the women in our story here. Those faithful women. They were there when Jesus was put up on the cross. They were there when he died. The women were there when they laid him in a tomb. And here the women are again, when this announcement is made, this Easter proclamation that Jesus is risen. These women have been faithful at every step, more faithful than their male counterparts. But finally, they lose it too. They fizzle out here a little bit at the end. Like all of us, they come up short. The angelic young man tells them the news that Jesus is raised and that they are to go and tell everyone else. But they don't do it. The Gospel of Mark says that they were terrified and they fled from the tomb and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What a way to end the story. What a way to take the air out of our balloons, huh? But that is the end of the Gospel of Mark. Maybe you want to take it home and read it again. Maybe you want to reflect and think through all the possible reasons. There are many, all the possible reasons that this story could have ended like this. It's a challenge to us to consider this different ending of Mark. But end it does. It's the end of the story. Isn't it? Or is it? This story, it seems to me, is part of the larger Jesus story. One thing we know about the Jesus story is that it ends in death on a cross, entombed, but that ending leads to this new beginning when Jesus is raised. And so placing this story in relationship to the Jesus Christ story, I wonder, was it really the end? Or does this cliffhanger sort of ending at the end of Mark leave space for another new beginning? I wonder if those women ever found their way back to Galilee. Do you think they did? Or I wonder if along the way Peter and the others got there as well. Did they go back to Galilee? I wonder if there was a new beginning for them, where God took them as they are and breathed life into them. And little by little started filling them up, breath by breath, in a way they hadn't experienced before. New life with Christ where they didn't expect it. Sustained for the journey, were they? Was the cliffhanger ending of Mark the end, or was it a new beginning? God, tie them off. Fill them up and set them on a new path. Let's go back to Galilee this week. Let's find out if God, who raised Jesus from the dead, can raise us as well. Amen.
Please join me with the affirmation of our faith. The Apostles' Creed is printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We'll now have a nurture team update.
The nurture team has been very busy planning a surprise. Now, as Judy anxiously asked at the session meeting, what are we going to do for the 20th anniversary of Pastor Chris's ordination? Well, we finally know what we're doing. We're having a surprise.
Pastor Chris, if you'd like to stand up here with us.
Yes.
Over the past several weeks, we have sent out letters and made some phone calls to your past congregations and your past friends and your current friends, and we have made a memory book of Pastor Chris's past 20 years of service and ministry. So, we invite you all, if you have not gotten a chance to write a letter or a note to Pastor Chris, we are going to be celebrating in the Hope Room after the service, and we invite you to write a note to Pastor Chris or a memory that you have of her.
Wow.
There's all kinds of things in there for you, Pastor.
Now, we'll let Pastor Dave, he's got a few words to say, and then I want to highlight a few pages of the book for you.
20 years ago this week, last Thursday, Pastor Chris was ordained into ministry of Word and Sacrament, and some people who were there, a.k.a. her parents, sent us a bulletin and sent us a few insights that she had back then as she looked ahead to her life in ministry. And you might be surprised, but I don't think you will, by what she had to say about some of her priorities and goals 20 years ago for her ministry. This is what Pastor Chris wrote. A ministry of pastoral care and community is my priority. There are four foundations of that ministry as I see it now. First, I seek to recognize and utilize the strength and power of the Bible as it applies to day-to-day life. Study and reflection in community bring Scripture to life. Sound about right? Secondly, the church exists to be a community of support and challenge. A goal of my ministry is to bring, is to help community to develop in small groups, in bringing folks back into larger community, in leading in worship and the whole community. The third foundation of my ministry is to support individuals struggling to find hope in the midst of pain. A final foundation is to work with people and help them to discover and follow their own gifts. We are called to follow Jesus Christ to ministry. Supporting people as they step out in these new directions is an important goal of mine. Twenty years ago, how prescient she was of the kind of ministry that she would be engaged in.